it.
Depend on your taste of berries. Some people like small berries. Mm-hmm. Some people like bigger berries.
What's the difference?
Some are small, some are big.
Hey, everybody. Kyle Sasser, Great Things Tampa Bay. And before we get started today, just want to give you a quick overview, making some changes, cutting out the intro music, cutting out a lot of the beginning intro, just because personally, I don't like getting pounded with advertisements and, action requests, go to this website, go to that website, sign up here, like me here. So cutting all that out. If you would like to support the podcast or interact with us, we're going to put all that on the end. And we're also adding another segment towards the end. We're playing local musicians' music. So I've reached out to a bunch of local musicians. They have been more than kind enough to allow me to play that. So it's going to be basically a single track at the end from every genre imaginable. Tampa is crazy so far as music goes. And some of the artists and songs that were sent to me were so good that I actually had to listen to them 3 times in a row and just got some chills listening to them. So be sure to stay tuned. And if you like the change, if you don't like the changes, go to our website. I promise I won't be doing a whole bunch of actual requests at the front here, but our website, greatthingstv.com. You can go there and let me know if you like it or if you don't like it. Hey, everybody. It's Kyle Sasser with Great Things Tampa Bay, and this is episode 24. Today, we are interviewing Mr. Bob McDowell. He is a local strawberry farmer out at Fancy Farms over in Plant City, Florida. And funny enough, I didn't know it was Fancy Farms till I got out there. Got a little history with him. Personally, I went to high school with the owner's daughter, I believe. I think it's the owner's daughter. didn't ask that particular relation, but I know they're related. And also, my wife was in her sorority. So, pretty funny connection when you drive up, see the sign, you're like, oh yeah, I know you guys. So, in this interview, we're going to be talking about all of the secrets of strawberry farming, which sounds, maybe it might sound a little boring to you. You're like, you throw some water on it, you throw some fertilizer on it. But some interesting facts and figures, how they pick the strawberries, and basically just the overall process. I know I have lived in the area for 38 years, and I was definitely not aware of a lot of the things that he went over. So be sure to stay tuned, and stay tuned to the end, because we're going to have a local musician playing us out on the outro, and it's I promise it's good stuff. I do. I don't take just anybody. I make sure to listen to it, and I refuse to play garbage, put it that way. Although the actual band Garbage, if they were local, would probably make it on there. So anyway, without further ado, here is the interview with Bob McDowell. Hey, everybody. This is Kyle Sasser, and I'm here with a old friend of mine from high school, and I'll let him introduce himself.
Hey, I'm Bob McDowell. Work at Fancy Farms, Plant City, Florida.
Yep, and he is a strawberry farmer extraordinaire out here in Plant City.
I don't know if you'd say that, but been doing it for almost 15 years.
Yep. So you got some good experience. He's going to share some of that with us today. So let's just start off. What all is entailed in making a strawberry?
Well, a good strawberry plant makes a good strawberry, mm-hmm. and some good growing weather makes a good strawberry.
So, and what would a good growing weather be?
Good growing weather, probably be in the 50 to 70 degree range. Mm-hmm. Not very little rain, no fog around.
Yeah, that's good.
That'd be good. And a good berry price.
Mm-hmm. Makes always, money. Always a plus.
Yeah.
So listeners, today, the day that we're actually doing this interview, we had the freeze last night, right?
Yes, we did have the freeze.
Yes.
It was, it got quite cold. They predicted 28 for us and we actually got to 23 degrees.
Woof. So explain to us what happens during a freeze, like what happens to the plant and how, well, like what steps do you take to protect the berries?
Well, during the day before, we usually go out and we crank the pumps up, make sure the sprinklers aren't broken off or, make sure they're all functioning properly. The pumps are functioning properly. We have plenty of fuel for them for the night. And then when we'll go to bed that night and watch the thermometer, we might get some sleep. We probably don't. Last night they predicted 28, and we figured, when the temperature got to about 33 degrees, we'll go ahead and crank the pump up because mm-hmm. there's not going to be frost and the wind's going to be blowing bad. We need to start making ice.
Yeah.
And the reason we make the ice is to create a cocoon basically around the strawberry plant. and it'll maintain 32 degrees around the plant, or around the berry and the plant itself. If the berries can take 30 degrees, you know, some nights we've never run water. It got 30 degrees, didn't run the water, didn't have any damage.
Yeah.
But when it gets down to the mid 20s, we'll have problems.
Yeah.
So the reason we keep the pumps running is to keep making ice. Because if you make a coat of ice on there for an hour or so and you turn the pump off, well, the ice will get colder than 32 degrees. That's exactly why we just keep it running and running.
So it's like a physics problem. You basically have to keep the water on there, and the water helps keep it at 32 degrees, but it has to keep being new water.
Yes, yes, yes. The making of the ice creates some heat.
Yeah.
And that's what protects the berries and the flowers also. You need to get a coating around the flowers too, because they will also die.
Yep. And when I pulled up today, Mr. Grooms was nice enough to show me some examples of some crop damage. Would you like to describe the damage that we saw?
The damage that you saw was he had some flowers that he pulled from the field. And usually a flower is nice and yellow. And these flowers were actually brown on the tips. And when it turns brown on the tip, the flower will not pollinate because it's already dead. And it'll make a misshapen berry that we can't harvest.
Yeah. And it's crazy to me, just like, because I know absolutely nothing about farming, really. The damage shows up that rapidly, because that was just from this morning, right? Like the last overnight?
Yes. Well, we went out in the field while the water was running and saw damage.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yes. That's crazy. So, okay. So we did have the freeze. Overall, things are pretty good here. The crop came through pretty well, y'all.
Yeah, for the most part, there is going to be damage because the wind blew. It was really bad blowing.
Yeah.
It got to 23 degrees, which they predicted 28, which that didn't work out very well.
Yep.
This is one of I've considered a bad freeze, really.
Yeah.
And we hadn't had one of those since 2010, 2011.
Yeah. So I live over in St. Pete, but I grew up here in Plant City. I've lived in Tampa. I've lived in Lakeland. And it's been probably, like you say, like about 7 years, 6, 7 years since it's really, we've had a hard freeze overnight. Like even in balmy St. Petersburg over there, it was cold.
Yes, it was very cold. We made a lot of ice on the plants last night.
Is there any fix for the damage? You just kind of have to go with it?
There's no fix for the damage. You just move on, and that's just part of the crop we will end up losing.
Yeah, just part of the deal.
Yeah, it's part of farming.
All right. Well, that's cool. So the berries, you told me earlier that the berries have already been coming in, and you've been doing some picking already.
Yes. Did you want to hear a rundown of how we get to a berry to pick?
Yes. We started with the climax, you know, with the ice and the crop damage and the farmers on the television talk about freezes. Well, let's go back to the beginning and, you know, see exactly where we start. Like, when do we, like, how do you start a season?
Well, typically in the summer, we have a cover crop growing, and it's clay peas or hemp or some other type of cover crop. It builds the nutrition in the soil, keeps from soil erosion. We'll start like in July, knocking that down and prepping it, and come about middle of, the end of July, we'll go in and start laying the plastic.
Oh, okay. So that's when you till the fields and kind of pull them up into rows? And
yes, we'll pull them up in rows, lay the plastic, bury the ends. We have a tube down the center of the bed. We call it drip tape, and that's how we water and fertilize our berries.
Okay, so no more of the white pipes sticking up with the...
Well, we still have those for frost protection, but we only run them for frost protection.
Oh, okay.
So we run the drip tape, and it conserves water, and it's better on the plant because plants aren't getting wet.
Yeah.
But once we lay our plastic, and we'll wait about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, get our roadway set, get all the plastic. It takes probably 2 weeks to lay the plastic and get our roadways ready. Mm-hmm. Other farmers, it takes longer. Mm-hmm. You know, just on our farm, that's about our time span of how long it takes.
Yeah.
Depending on if a hurricane comes. Hurricane Irma come through, it put a wrench in the program for us.
It does that. It definitely does that.
Yeah. But after we do all that, we'll get our plants in. Mm-hmm. The last week of September through the middle of October, we'll start planting. And we'll put the berry plants in the row, hand plant them in.
Mm-hmm.
And then
so they're actually planted by hand. They're yep, not. Yep. There's no machine.
Well, there's a machine that will punch the hole in the plastic for us.
But somebody's got to.
Somebody's going to come in there and put a plant in by hand.
Wow.
And there's roughly 18,000 plants per acre.
Yeah, that's I did not realize that. Like, I grew up next to a strawberry mm-hmm. farm, and I always just figured one of the machines they ran by it, like, you know, probably the one that poked the hole, would put the plant in as well.
Yeah, but, it don't work that way.
Is it just the plants are too sensitive at that point?
There's not a machine that will actually set that for you because each plant is unique.
Okay.
The root mass is different on each plant.
Oh, okay.
And the crown of the plant, the different sizes. So there's no uniformity. You know, okay. They are somewhat uniform, but there's no machine that can actually do that.
That's crazy.
but going back to our plants, mm-hmm. we get our plants from North Carolina, mm-hmm. California, and Canada, and Nova Scotia.
Okay.
And we got some from Colorado. They grow them in the higher elevations where it's cooler,
mm-hmm.
The sock plants, and then they'll dig them in a nursery, and they'll bring them to us in refrigerated trucks in boxes.
Wow.
And then after that, then we'll plant them in the ground, and then we turn the water on. The reason we turn the water on during the heat of the day is to keep them cool.
Yeah.
If you do not run the water, the plant will just wilt and die.
All right. So are they, I'm guessing they're not native to the section of Florida then?
I don't know if they are. Well, they are. They've been growing here about 100 years.
Yeah, that's true. And I think I've seen some out in the wild.
Yeah.
I'm going to say mm-hmm. walking around in various places.
So once we get our berries planted, within usually 3 to 4 weeks, we'll pick our first berry. The plant will typically establish itself growing. It'll push out a few leaves, and then it'll push out some flowers. From flower to harvest is typically 3 weeks when it's warm.
Yeah.
When it gets cool, we may go four and a half weeks from the flower, depending on all the environmental conditions happen.
So like citrus, is there any rule, like if you have like a cold snap at a certain point, it'll put a certain sweetness on the strawberry, or is that just for citrus?
For strawberries, the longer the berry stays on the bush, the sweeter it will get.
Right.
It will actually mature slower, which will create more sugars in the berry, which will make it sweeter.
And I think that's what everyone's interested in with the strawberry, is how sweet it is.
Yes, there are that, and depends on what variety you plant. There's many, many varieties of strawberry plants. You know, just not a green plant and a red strawberry. You know, they're like people. They're all different.
They have their own cultivars or whatever.
Yes, they do. And the strawberry lab, IFAS.
Sounds like a very cool place.
Yeah, so University of Florida actually is mm-hmm. part of that deal. I don't know if you ever heard of that place.
It's on occasion.
It's down in Balm. There's some doctors and scientists that and plant breeders that come up with the different varieties from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
There's other varieties from California and all over the actually the world. They actually have their own varieties.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing on our Florida varieties that the breeders have developed. We get the opportunity to grow the berries, and then other countries actually grow the berries too. Our Florida varieties are grown in other countries like Israel and Spain.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, so it's not just a local variety that we're growing.
Yeah.
Our varieties go out across the world.
Although you know, all strawberries grown in Plant City are the best, just by default.
Of course, it must be the dirt.
Yep. So you mentioned to me earlier that you have some biologists and things on staff. I didn't know if you wanted to go into that a little bit, just what they do, what they look for, like pest issues and things
well,
like that.
Well, the lab at Balm, they have a somebody that looks at bugs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the technical term for him. Yeah, he's...
Bugs is good enough.
Yeah, he's a bug man. He'll test different insecticides, make sure they're effective.
Mm-hmm.
They'll let us know of some new bugs coming out. You know, there's always, you know, a new invasive species of something that's going to attack a berry plant.
Yeah, or things adapting or...
Yeah, and they'll come up with different strategies how to maintain these bugs to where they won't damage the fruit.
Yeah.
And then we got another one that deals in diseases.
Interesting. So like funguses, molds?
Yes,
like
yes, funguses and molds. We call one called gray mold.
Sounds dire.
Yes, yeah, it's not very good. And they test different methods of preventing it and curing it.
Yeah.
And they test the chemicals and they actually study how the mold actually grows and how it develops and the weather conditions of when it's actually growing.
Yeah.
Because when it's real cold like this, it doesn't like to grow.
Yeah. Makes sense. Very fascinating. All right. So we have the flower there and the flower's all good. It's made it through the winter and it's put on a berry and now it's all ripe. It's very sweet because it's been on there a long time.
Well, yeah, right now. But back in September, we started making flowers.
Yeah.
And we ended up started picking like the last week of October. Just a few strawberries, not very many.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll typically harvest the berries every 3 days to 4 days. If it's real cloudy, the berries won't ripen as fast. So we'll end up going another day in between picking.
And that's crazy. Like even just a cloudy day can affect when like dozens of people are going to have to work, right? Like the picker, like for people to come in and pick, just yes. A cloudy day is going to push that out a day.
Yes, it will push it out a day. And we set our farm up to where we're on a rotation. We pick a third of the farm every day. So we're picking every day. We try to, if it's cloudy or if we got to have a freeze coming, we will pick ahead and get some of that fruit off, and then they'll have a day or two off, and then we'll finally get some sun in. They'll start ripening them up, and we'll go back to picking again.
Yeah. So it's not just the people around Florida that like the sun. The plants and the berries like it as well.
Yes. Yes. The plants do like it.
That's good.
And then once we'll start picking, our berries will go to the market, and they'll go to Publix. I know our berries go to Publix, and you'll see the Wish Farms label.
Never heard of them.
Yes. You'll see the Wish label,
yep.
And you'll see a How's My Picking sticker on the clamshell.
Mm.
It has a little special number on it. And you can go to their website, put that little number in there, and you can write a review on them berries.
Wow. So your back office system is so fine-grained nowadays. Sorry, this is the IT guy in me coming out. That you actually know who picked what strawberries?
Yes, we actually, you know, the consumer doesn't know exactly who picked it and which farm it does, but it gives the Wish Farms an idea if there's a problem or if them berries are awesome. They'll let the grower know what's going on. Hey, you know, these people really love these berries. You know, you need to keep doing this.
Keep doing whatever you're doing.
Or them berries, they weren't very good. You know what you did wrong type deal.
Like we took them, but we probably shouldn't have them. We both know it.
and that's a new thing we've been doing for probably 5 or 6 years called traceback, traceability.
That's cool. That's very cool.
It's somewhat similar to the tomato incident.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have traceability exactly.
Give me some backstory here because I'm in the dark. I don't know.
Tell you don't know what happened.
I don't because I know we grow tomatoes here, like down in Ruskin. That's their thing.
Yes, it was probably 6-7 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big outbreak of some tomatoes that some people got sick on.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, them tomatoes were not grown in the United States. Yep. They were imported tomatoes, which got these people sick.
Yes. So the Ruskin tomatoes did not make anybody sick. Just want to clear that up.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So, but it did decimate some of the tomato growers. They did go out of business about it.
Yeah. Because people backed off of buying tomatoes and there was questions. You know, people were getting really sick. I think, was there any deaths, I think?
I think there was.
Yeah.
I think there was some deaths.
I remember that story now that you mention it. So,
mm-hmm. And coming up on the regulatorial stuff, we have licenses to spray chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a license to actually purchase chemicals and actually put them out.
So like the pesticides?
The pesticides. We really don't want to spray pesticides, but under a necessity, we have to control some of the pests that are out there in the field. And sometimes we're not spraying for pests. We're spraying for a fungus that'll grow on the berry. And, of course, you know, we don't want to spray it because it costs a lot of money. That cuts into what money we could make.
Yeah, like, you know, Dow Chemical, they don't just give this stuff to you for free.
No, they don't. They may give you a bottle, say, here, try it.
Yeah, and you're not buying, like, you know, a little, you know, half-liter bottle at Home Depot. You're buying hundreds, thousands of gallons of this stuff.
Yes, we are. And another thing that people see a sprayer out there, we might not be spraying for anything. We'll spray plant nutrition, which would be nutritional stuff on them, like a fertilizer to make them healthy, or calcium. Mm-hmm. One thing about calcium we'll put on the plant, calcium is a nutrient that is very hard for the plant to uptake. It's one mm-hmm. of the hardest nutrients for the plant to uptake, mm-hmm. which will make the berries firmer.
Mm, interesting.
And when the calcium gets to the cells, it'll make the cells stronger, which will prevent the funguses from actually going into the strawberries itself, which is more like a fungicide.
Yeah. So just because you see, like, you know, the big tractor with the big white tank and the stuff spraying everywhere, it doesn't mean that, you know, death is coming out of there. A lot of times it's going to be nutrients and stuff that's actually beneficial for the plants.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, they realize, you know, they see a sprayer out there, they think of skull and crossbones, you know?
Yeah.
And that is not the fact. Because I've sprayed on this farm for 15 years, and that's not the fact all the time.
Yeah. And it's really just a simple fact of farming that you basically have a huge buffet out there that's, you know, it's like a huge buffet of top class steaks for various bugs and funguses and stuff like that. So just like you'd have to keep people away from free steaks, you have to keep the pests away from the strawberries.
And there's one pest, I'll bring it up. It's called thrips. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever looked at a thrip.
Can I get a spelling on that?
It's a thrip.
All right.
So thrip. Yeah. And there's different species of thrips, but the thrip will go in the flower and it'll eat on the flower itself. And then when the berry matures, it'll have brown veins all in the strawberry. Mm. We can't harvest it or nothing.
Yeah, that does not sound very appealing.
Yeah. And they're a challenge too. To control.
Well, let me ask you this, because that piques a question of mine that I've always had. So when you picture a strawberry in your mind, you know, you have green top and, you know, sort of the heart shape to it. What causes it to turn into like the really wide strawberry?
Okay, you're wanting a cone berry. And the berry you're talking about is called a fan berry, which we call it a fan berry. Mm-hmm. And it's all in the plant itself, the makeup of the plant. Sometimes some varieties will produce only cone berries.
Okay.
And some varieties will do the cone and the fan berry all at the same time.
So it's just different cultivars then.
And it's like people. We're all different.
Yeah, that's true.
Every strawberry is different.
Interesting.
And then there are some strawberries that if you cut them in half, they're white on the inside instead of red.
Yeah.
And then we got another variety. You cut it in half, it's hollow in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah, you know, they're hollow.
That, like, it's almost like a strawberry pepper, like, just from that description.
Yeah, yes.
Freaky.
And another thing, you might not a lot of people know this, which I was explaining to somebody about the moon, the phases of the moon. Mm-hmm. They affect the strawberry itself.
You got to tell me how.
Okay. Which, whenever I got into farming, they told me about the moon. I said, nah, you're full of it. But it's actually true. On the full moon, the berries will actually get softer.
So, do you think that's just like the water, or
well, I don't know what the water could do, but the moon, on a full moon, the berries will actually get softer.
That's crazy.
And then on the fall of the moon, they'll actually, or, you know, the rise of the moon, they'll be a much firmer berry.
They'll firm up a little bit. That's crazy.
And of course, we're looking for a firm berry, because we're going to pick it, put it in a clamshell. They're going to take it to a cooler, and they're going to ship it up the road. Yeah. And the firmer the berry, the longer it'll ride.
Yeah.
And the better it'll be once you get it in the produce store.
Yeah. And one of the major, you know, hurdles with any sort of agriculture or produce is making sure it gets to the store all in one piece and you know, in a appealing and edible
state. Because it's a perishable item.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like potatoes, I guess, that can sit there for a month, or, you know, onions, that type of thing. You know, the berries are tender.
Things in a boxcar, send them across the country, who cares?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start from the beginning. How long from the time you pick it till the time it shows up on a store shelf?
It can be. We sometimes, if for like Publix, we'll pick it today. Mm-hmm. That evening, they will pre-cool at the cooler, they'll take the heat out of the strawberry if it's warm outside, because you can cool the berry down and the decay will be less.
Yes.
And then once they'll cool it down, they'll ship it to Publix warehouse right down the road from here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. About a half mile.
Yeah. And then they'll distribute it within probably 3 days. They're sitting on the shelf.
So that fast.
It can be that fast. And then of course you have fresh strawberries or fresher strawberries.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, it's a little different going north. You know, you may get to 5 to 6 days.
Yeah.
But they try to keep the distribution from the farm to the store as short as possible so the consumer gets the best product.
Yeah, so because you want them fresh. And so pretty much the strawberries you see in the store were probably, they were pretty much picked that week, just a few days beforehand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Like, logistically, that's impressive to me.
Yes.
It appeals to my nerd nature. Because there's a lot of moving parts to make that happen.
Yes, there are.
So how long is a typical strawberry season?
Our season, when I first started, we picked almost until the middle of May.
Wow. Okay.
And the reason being is the market, the price that we were getting for our berries. Mm-hmm. And in recent years, we have pushed that up earlier to where the price of strawberries will drop where it's not even profitable to pick them.
Yeah.
And that's because of California. Their season comes in, it knocks us out.
Yeah. It's always Florida versus California.
Right? Yeah. And then our end of the season is typically, last year it was the last week of March.
Okay. So that's a little bit after the I think we were talking about this earlier. The strawberry festival is usually, I think, like beginning of March to mid-March.
Yeah. First week of March, typically. Yeah,
something like that. And then the season nowadays goes a little bit past that to like maybe first week of April-ish.
Yeah. And another thing that our shipper has acquired is we'll do processed berries. Hmm. We'll take the berries that aren't for fresh market, and we'll take in them, we'll pick them, and we'll cut the tops of them off. And they'll actually take them to a processor, and they'll slice them up, and they'll put them in ice cream.
There you go.
there's a place off of Sydney Road here in Plant City that actually took our strawberries and put them in the ice cream and sold them, and sold that ice cream in the local stores at Strawberry Festival time.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Locally grown.
Yeah. And then there's some other contracts where we'll pick the berries and they'll actually juice them. Mm-hmm. And they'll use them for like Coca-Cola for flavored drinks.
Ah, okay. So like pulling the essence out, like
like a puree and stuff of that nature. And we're able to harvest more berries that way.
Yeah. So like these contracts, is there like a central clearinghouse for those, or are they just negotiated one on one?
The contract is with our shipper. He deals with that. So he just tells us to pick the strawberries and. He handles all that other headaches because there's a world of other things going on for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts in this industry. So.
Yes.
And, one important part of any business is having people, the experts, do what the experts know and not have them doing, other parts.
Yeah. You know, everybody has a purpose in the industry and they're good at that purpose and that's what they do. Yeah. And that's all that we require them to do.
That's true. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about? Was there anything you wish that I would have asked you about today?
I hope that's what everybody in St. Pete wants to know about.
All right. Do you still go to Plant City High School football games?
You know, I've been to two of them, and that was before I went to Plant City High School.
Oof.
Yep. And once I went to Plant City High School, I never went to a football game.
You're like, enough's enough.
Yeah, football wasn't my cup of tea.
I hear you. Well, for those that don't know, so Bob, you're from Plant City here. I also grew up in Plant City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went to school around the same time.
Yep.
And lots of good times here in Plant City. It's nice to be back here, stepping out and hearing the quiet and looking across the strawberry fields.
Yeah, you got a nice look at the sunset this evening. Yeah. And, you know, we're getting ready for another freeze tonight. They're calling, frost and freeze warning.
So is it not going to be as cold as last night, though, right?
It better not be, which it's not going to be that.
Yeah, because I thought I saw the weather is supposed to be warming up, like, as the week goes on.
Yeah, they're calling for the mid-70s here shortly.
Yeah.
But last night, I got up at midnight. Of course, I slept for an hour or two. Got up at midnight, and we had the water on at 1. We stayed up until 10 o'clock this morning. It finally got above 32 degrees.
Oof, it's cold.
Yes, very cold.
That is cold. I don't have clothing for that weather.
Yeah, I don't either. We got a heater in the truck.
Ah, there you go.
It works good.
Like citrus, y'all don't have like the big, burners that y'all can just put out in the fields and just.
No, well, actually, those are outlawed now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they burned, I think, diesel in them. It made a lot of smut, and it wasn't very environmentally friendly.
Yeah, well, it was. I remember being a kid, and because my parents or my mom's dad lived over in Lakeland, so we'd always go through the orange groves over there.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing those things.
Yes, I've seen one, never been around one running.
Yep, it's very loud. So growing up next to the farm, they had one in the nursery that they would run, mm-hmm. and that thing would keep us up all night.
now a little history on me is my parents weren't farmers or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how did you get into this?
My dad worked at a pipe fab shop, and I thought I wanted to be an architect.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the architectural classes in high school and thought I was going to do a lot of drawing and drafting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I worked at a pipe shop running AutoCAD.
Yep.
About 16 years old, running AutoCAD,
mm-hmm.
building shop drawings for pipe.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting job, but I found out I can't sit in an office. I got to be out in the open. You know, we got to do something different.
Yeah.
You know, farming, you're out in the open. And about every month, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
Your actual job task actually changes throughout the year. Of course, you know, we're picking for 4 or 5 months, which that does. It'll wear on you after 3 or 4 months. It, you know, it gets old.
Yeah.
But the reason I got into farming is because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Out under the sun and, you know, enjoying nature.
And one day I knew Carl Grooms, and I went up there to him and talked to him, and we shook hands, said, "You're hired."
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, there was no contract or nothing. Yeah, he said, "Come to work Monday." Yeah, we'll start.
Be here on Monday.
Yeah,
old school.
Yeah, you know, it's been great ever since.
So I guess last question. So picking strawberries, they have any fancy machine for that now, or is it still you walk, you bend down, you pick it up?
They are working on a picking machine for strawberries.
All right.
it's like 3 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it's supposed to be prototyped in the field to make sure it's going to work. And then they're going to work on it for, I think, another 2 years. And then it will be commercially available to the farmers.
So to make sure it doesn't make like strawberry pulp.
That's a whole nother world.
Cause I know the holdup on that automation, like strawberries are pretty sensitive. Like the plants are sensitive and they put multiple berries on. It's mm-hmm. not just like a one shot and they're done.
Yes.
Like some other crops. So you have to keep the plants in good health so they can keep producing strawberries throughout the season. And then the actual berries themselves are sensitive.
Like, well, each strawberry is different size, different shape.
Mm-hmm.
And they ripen at different times, so they're different colors. So they got to figure out how to find the right berry. And to find the berry in the plant, it's in a different position. Mm-hmm. You know, each one's in a different position.
Oh, so it actually has like optical and like artificial intelligence.
Yes. They got cameras down there looking at the berry.
What?
And then they got some fingers to go down that will grab the berry and actually pick it off of the berry. And then they have to put that berry in the clamshell, the cup mm-hmm. that you see in the market.
Like the green or the clear.
Clear. They call them clamshells.
Yep.
so they got to figure out how to put them in there. And then once they fill that clamshell up, they got to figure out how to put that in the brown box.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, nobody sees the brown boxes, not unless you're in Plant C. You see them on the back of our truck. You know? So they got a, it's a monster in itself. But once they get it working, it will alleviate some of the labor issues we have here in Plant City.
Yeah. So, and the brown boxes are basically containers that hold how many straw?
Yeah, it's typically 8 pounds of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pick in 1 pounders mainly. There's a 2 pound clamshell that you'll see, which there are 4 clamshells in the box.
Yeah.
And then we pick some 4 pounders, and those go to like Sam's Clubs.
Hefty.
Yeah. Yeah. You get a 4 pound thing of berries.
All right. So if somebody, whenever you personally go to the store to buy, well, I'm sure it's probably been a while since you bought some strawberries, but if you were to find yourself in, let's say, a Publix, you know, if you happen to run across one, I know they're rare.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in a Publix and you're looking for some strawberries. What do you look for?
We'll look for some berries that are, you know, fairly decent size. Depend on your taste of berries. Some people like small berries.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like bigger berries.
What's the difference?
Well, some are small, some are big.
Oh, so taste-wise, they're the same though? Like one's not sweeter than the other?
That's correct. And, well, sometimes the bigger berries, they're not as sweet as the smaller ones.
Okay, good to know.
So sometimes the smaller ones are sweet. It just depends on how the berry matured on the mm-hmm. plant.
All right. And we learned earlier that the longer the berries on the vine, well, not vine, plant.
Yeah, plant.
We're not making wine here.
Yeah.
The longer it's on the plant, the sweeter the berry.
Yes.
Thanks so much for being on here, Bob. And it's been a pleasure.
All right. Maybe we can do this again.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So I'd like to thank Bob for taking the time out of his busy day to do that interview. Definitely a lot of fun. It was great to catch up. And should, I guess you could say, you know, talk to somebody in the business who obviously has a passion for strawberry farming and is looking to share his knowledge. Great stuff. So if you're at the Strawberry Festival or just moving about the area and you'd like to support some, just make sure you're supporting our local strawberry farmers. So now we're going to move on to segment two, your tidbit of information. Since we're getting a little closer to the NHL playoffs, I thought I'd throw a little NHL knowledge at you. So, interestingly, the NHL uses frozen hockey pucks in all of its games, and they do this because the pucks are actually a rubber, you know, amalgamation, and they freeze them so they're not too bouncy, so they don't, you know, bounce across the ice and all that stuff. And they're actually replaced before every period, and every time that it is knocked, you know, over the glass and into the stands, which is terrifying. And the frozen pucks are actually kept in a freezer inside the penalty box. All right, everybody, and that almost wraps up the podcast. We just have the music play out and just some odds and ends here on the end. Hope you like the new format. Definitely trying things a little different, trying to tighten things up. And if you like it, if you don't like it, if you hate it, please go to our website, which is greatthingstb.com. That's GREATTHINGSTB.com. And we're doing lots of cool things there. So not only do we have all of the extensive show notes, information, blog posts, contests, and all that good stuff there, I'm actually building a community, so you are able to come there and post things and interact with other fellow Great Things Tampa Bay's listeners. One thing that I would like to also add is that I'm also looking for your input. So if you're in a band and you would like to be featured on the podcast, if you would like for me to go try a place out, just go to the website and you can do so there. Anyway, without further ado, so playing us out here on episode 24 is Trinity, and this is Precious Memory. They're a bit of a Caribbean reggae band, but very good stuff, very high quality, and hope you enjoy. If you'd like to find out more about them, please check out the show notes. We will have a link to their Facebook page or website there. So thanks for tuning in to Great Things Tampa Bay, and be sure to share this with your favorite person. Thank you.
Precious memories unfold the book.